This morning, we're going to be talking about our new series that we're starting today called Why Nobody Wants to Go to Church Anymore. Now, the title is a little misleading because obviously you're here. So somebody wants to go to church. And so I was thinking about it, and we all go to church for our own reasons. And we all have different reasons why. Some Sundays we come, some Sundays we don't. And this series is going to be looking at, today we're going to look at a lot of statistics that show why people generally do or do not come to church. And it's going to be kind of frustrating for you, and I designed it that way, because you're going to hear a lot of bad things today, and not some good things, but I want you to leave with a sense of, okay, now what do we do? And unfortunately, that's where I'm going to leave you today, is wondering what do we do about all these things, because that's what the next 5 weeks are going to be talking about. But there's so much introductory material and so much so many things that we need to discuss before we get into what do we do about it, that we're going to spend a whole day today talking about what is the situation that we're facing. So what is keeping people away from church? We want to first start out by looking at what generally how do Americans identify themselves? And in your bulletin, there is a booklet handout for you today that you can follow along with some of these statistics in there so that you can look at them more in detail, because we're going to breeze through some of them. That's fine, I think. We're going to breeze through some of them as we go through. So a lot of different things make up our human identity. But Americans, by and large, say that the biggest thing that who makes them who they are is their family. And that, I think you would all agree with, that that's how most people identify themselves, as a member of a specific family. 62% of people say that that is where they get their personal identity from. Being an American is another way that people get their identity, and that's 52%. And then the distant third, only 38% of people identify themselves through their faith, through their faith practices. And so that's something that we need to think about. Generationally, the older adults are more likely to say that their faith brings their identity to them, and they're also more likely to say that being an American brings them their core identity. In your handout, there is a graph in there that shows how much of each of the following a part of your personal identity, and you can look at that on your own and see where things rate and where they rank as they answered those surveys. The next thing that I want to think about is that people generally live and make decisions based on relationships. Based on relationships with their family, with their friends, with their coworkers. That is generally how decisions are made. There's a lot of reasons why people say that they move, sometimes for jobs, sometimes for family, sometimes for different things. But the reason that someone will stay at a particular job or stay in a particular city is because of the relationships that he or she builds. Generally, it's not because they really like the city. It's only if they find those relationships and make those relationships stick. Generally, the study says that Americans are happy, but Americans are also very busy. And I think we can all agree with at least the busy part and hopefully the happy part. You ask somebody, hi, how are you today? What was the general response you'd expect? Good, okay, fine. Now, a lot of times, you're getting busy, is the response to that question. And we feel busier. We feel more overwhelmed. We feel more stressed out. But statistically, we've gotten less busy than a decade ago. Now, only a third of people are saying that they're busy more than not. As for happiness, it's also gone down over the last decade. Now, 8 in 10 Americans say that they are happy or they feel happy. A decade ago, it was 9 out of 10. That being said, most Americans still identify themselves, number one, as happy. So that's a good thing. The happiest group of peoples are millennials. Those are the youngest generation. Those earning over $60,000 a year. And practicing Catholics are the three highest groups of happiness. And though we are happier, though we are less busy, we are also lonelier, and have a deeper longing for close relationships. Most of the people that answered on this survey, 2 out of 10 of them feel lonely, or 2 out of 10 of them want to connect with someone else. And they 37% said that they really want to find a good, close group of friends. And that's their number one longing, to find that good, close group of friends. And that goes right back to the relational aspect that we talked about at the very beginning. People want relationships. Those mostly seeking relationships are the millennials, 47%, Hispanics, 47%, and never married single adults, 44%. Those are the three groups most seeking those close group of friendships and relationships. David Kinneman, who's the president of the Barna Group, which is one of the research groups that we use for today's message, says, as a nation, we are embracing the digital revolution. And ironically, we are becoming a lonelier population. While there are many benefits of being participants in possibly the most relationally connected age in human history, the social media revolution has not made us feel more connected, less lonely, or replete with friends. The research points to many opportunities for the Christian community, the original social network, to provide genuine responses to the needs of today's culture. The church, when properly functioning, can address the rising epidemic of loneliness, financial strain and indebtedness, increasing concerns about morality, among many other things. Faith communities must respond to the fearful realities of the future with wisdom and love. After all, Jesus teaches that we should not be anxious about tomorrow, not even the changing psychographics of Americans. So that's one way that the church can really look at it. And on your handout there, it shows some of the other things that people are worried about and stressed out about. And so those are where some of those other statistics come from. So what is the relationship between the church and the general population? Within the general population, this research group has identified a group of people that they label as post-Christian. And the number of post-Christians living in America has risen 7 percentage points in just 2 years. They identify 44% of Americans qualify under this title of post-Christian. Now, in order to be considered a post-Christian, there's a list of 15 things that you would ascribe to if you would be post-Christian. If you could say 9 or more of these apply to you, then you would be considered post-Christian. If you meet 80% of them, or 12 or more of those, then you would be considered highly post-Christian. And those things that you would believe in are: you do not believe in God, identify as atheist or agnostic, disagree that faith is important in their lives, have not prayed to God in the last year, have never made a commitment to Jesus, disagree the Bible is accurate, have not donated money to a church in the last year, have not attended a Christian church in the last year, you agree that Jesus committed sins, do not feel a responsibility to share their faith, have not read the Bible in the last week, have not volunteered at church in the last week, have not attended Sunday school in the last week, have not attended religious small group in the last week, and do not participate in a house church in the last year. So they would say that if you mark 7 or 9 or more of those things, you would be put into this group called post-Christian. And of course, post-Christian is not a bad thing. It doesn't make them bad people or bad individuals. It just means that right now, faith is not their most important thing. And so we don't want to put these labels out and put these groups of people and say, well, these people are bad or these people are terrible, because that's not what we're saying. We're saying this is just how America is shaping up right now. Another group of people that may or may not be classified as post-Christian are what they call the churchless. And the churchless are those who have not attended a Christian church service other than a special event like a wedding or a funeral in the past 6 months. If you've gone for 6 months without attending a church service on your own, then you would be part of this churchless group. The number of unchurched people in America would make up the 8th most populous country in the world. There are roughly 114 million Americans who would fit the bill of being called churchless, and those are just adults. There's another 42 million of children who would be considered churchless. And so that's 156 Americans who have not been to church in the last 6 months. So that's a large group of people that we cannot afford to ignore. In the past decade, more people in the U.S. have become churchless than live in Australia or Canada. That just means that there's been an increase of 30% of churchless individuals over the last decade, which is equals 38 million people. So 10 years ago, there were 38 million less people going to church. The unchurched are more likely to be unmarried. Most of them, less than half of the unchurched, are married. For the church, it's 6 out of 10. And then there's some other statistics about that that you can read on your own. As far as divorce, separation, and widows, the numbers are about the same for the church and the churchless. What's interesting about the churchless is that most of them, if you ask them, what is your faith background, what is your religion, they will answer that their religion is Christianity. 62% of the churchless who have not been to church in the last 6 months will still identify themselves as Christians. As a group, they don't disdain Christianity, they don't try to belittle it, they don't try to hurt it or badmouth it, they just don't attend church. 34% of them describe themselves as deeply spiritual. 4 in 10 say that they strongly agree that their religious faith is important to them. And 1/3 of them say that they have an active relationship with God that influences their life. 51% of them, more than half, say that they are actively seeking to do something better for their spiritual life than they're currently doing now. That statistic gives me hope. The vast majority of America's churchless have attended church at some point. Only about 23% of the churchless have never been to church. The majority of them have left the church for one reason or another. If you're trying to figure out, well, what's the difference between the church and the unchurched as far as demographics concerned, there's not much difference. The way we live our lives is pretty similar to those that are churched or unchurched. The fact is that millions of people are leaving the church, and we need to figure out why and how to reach them. The number of post-Christian people is increasing, and it's increasing by generations. Nearly half of the millennials, 48%, would be considered post-Christian, 40% of the Gen Xers, 35% of the boomers, and 28% of the elders would be classified as post-Christian. People are generally, more than a decade ago, less open to the idea of going to a physical church building and going to church as we would think about it. The best way to get someone to come to church is to invite a friend. That is still the number one reason why people will go to a church, and that goes right back to the statistic about relationships. We want to be with people that we like, with our friends, with our family. And so those relationships are what draw people and keep people at a church. The least effective method of reaching someone with the church is a billboard. But I thought that was interesting. One other reason that this is increasing is because going to church is no longer mainstream. It's no longer considered a part of normal American life. Church is becoming increasingly unfamiliar to millions of Americans, and yet these churchless people are still comprised of largely de-church individuals, those that have attended it at some point and have, for whatever reason, stopped going. This group did a lot of research on why women in particular are leaving the church, because in times past, women have always made up the majority of the churched individuals. In 2003, 60% of the churchless were men, and in 2015, 54% were men. So instead of a 20-point gap, there's only an 8-point gap now. Women are leaving the church where they used to be the strongholds. Now more women are also leaving the church. Just about half of all adult women have attended the church in the past week or the past month. Nearly 4 in 10, however, fit the definition of churchless, not having attended in the past 6 months. Only 7% of adult women have never been to church. So they're not unfamiliar with church, just for some reason, something has happened in their lives and they've stopped attending. Obviously, choosing to not attend church is a fiercely personal decision. And everyone has their own reasons, but those reasons come into a few general categories, a little bit of commonality among some of these individuals. When asked how important is it for you personally to attend a local church, only 1/3 of the women said that it is very important. On the other end of the scale, 27% said that it's not at all important. So clearly there are things that are higher priorities for women in general. The number one priority, as you might expect, is family, family relationships. That is the most important. The second priority was faith or religious participation, but that was only 11%. So family is really the key driving thing. Women are also feeling busy. 72% of women feel very stressed out, 58% are tired, and 48% say that they're overcommitted. Those percentages are even higher for women with kids still in the home. For those women that with kids in the home, the statistics go even higher. Nearly 9 in 10 women, 88%, say that they want to improve in at least one area of their life. The area that they most want to improve is church or religious participation. That seems to indicate that the desire to attend church is there for the most part, but other things, other factors are keeping people from actually attending church. There's also the issue of lack of emotional engagement and support. Fewer than half of the women indicated receiving any emotional support from people at their church or their synagogue. Only 17% said that they feel very supported, and fewer than a quarter, 23%, said that they feel somewhat supported. Nearly half, 43%, said that they feel no support at all from their church or their synagogue. So where are people finding that emotional support and that emotional friendship and those relationships? We don't know at this point. We didn't study that yet, because this was a relatively new study. But they've got to be going somewhere for it, instead of going to the church. Now, as far as men not attending church, there's not a lot of great studies that I've been able to find at this point. This guy, David Murrow, has written a book called Why Men Hate Going to Church, and he argues that the church has become too feminine in practice and presence. I'm not sure that I really go along with that, but I can see kind of his point. His quote says, "When Christ calls disciples, he did not say, 'Come have a personal relationship with me.' No, he simply said, 'Follow me.' Hear the difference? Follow me suggests a mission or a goal, but a personal relationship with Jesus suggests we're headed to Starbucks for some couple time." He said that generally men want more of an adventure and are more risk-taking, and church is not always the place to go if you want to take a risk in some area of your life. People want to be comfortable in church. Remember the Sunday that I said, everybody sit somewhere new? And it was when I made that declaration for you, some of you were like, I just can't come that Sunday. I have to sit in my row. Okay? Because we like to be comfortable, right? The biggest issue, according to George Barna, who's one of the authors of one of these studies, says that all this data leads us to a direct examination of the reasons the unchurched avoid Christian churches. The biggest issue is perceived lack of value. They're not feeling that there's any point to coming to church. They're not getting anything out of church. They don't see the reason to come to church. And when they do come to church, or when they do get involved in a religious activity, the four most commonly stated reasons that they don't stay involved in church are these statements. I feel judged. I don't want to be lectured. Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. And your God is irrelevant to my life. Another group of people that are identified as the Duns are those individuals that were at one time highly active in churches, and for these four reasons, they have stopped being active in church. They say they wanted community and received only judgment. They wanted to affect the life of the church and found only bureaucracy. They wanted a conversation and got only lectures. They wanted meaningful engagement with the world and only got a moral prescription. Those eight things, those two sets of four, are going to be some of the things that we're going to be talking about in the next 4 or 5 weeks. One of the things, and you know, it's not that every single person who doesn't attend church goes with and feels like one of these things. But statistically, they're going to line up with at least one of them. One of these is the reason why people don't go to church generally. And so we need to look at those things. And what do we need to change to address those? If we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, then we probably should expect the same results, right? If we want to reach people with the message of the gospel, we're going to have to really examine what are we doing, how are we doing it, and how is it affecting those that we're trying to reach. As a church, we need to be reaching people. That's what we're called to do. And so if there are things that we are doing, things that we are saying, attitudes that we have that are keeping people away from church, Jesus didn't stand at the corner and tell everyone, you must change to come to me. You have to change if you want to be with me. Jesus never did that. Jesus went to the people. He changed. He ate with the sinners. He went and did things that he wasn't supposed to do on the Sabbath to help people, to minister to people. And so if we take our calling seriously as a church, that we must reach people with the message of the gospel, then we have to be willing to change. That doesn't mean that we're going to just throw our theology out the window and just become a hippie commune or something, that everything is good. We're going to stay with our principles, but we have to look at how do we reach people effectively with the message of the gospel. And so that means we have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to take those steps to reach people with the message of the gospel. That's what we're going to talk about in the next 4 or 5 weeks in this message. So be thinking about that over this next week. Take that packet of information. I just flew through those stats, and I didn't read all of them, but you can look on those packets and read through some of those things. And if you have people that don't go to church in your life, just ask them this week, hey, why don't you come to church? Not in a judgmental way, I just really want to know, why don't you attend church? And see what their answers are and see if they line up with these with these answers that they gave in the study. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you that you have called us. Thank you that you have chosen us to be your messengers. God, you've given us a great task, a great responsibility to reach out to those who do not yet know you. I pray, Father, that we would live up to that task, and that as a church we would together make decisions and move in different ways and change in ways if we need to, God, so that we can reach more people with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the gift that you gave us through your Son, who died on the cross for our sins. I pray that if there are those here today that have not accepted your gift of salvation, that they would surrender their lives and join the greatest adventure that they could ever count on. God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.